Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting. The website is santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Happy Leap Year Day, ladies and gentlemen. It happens only once every 4 years. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be with us, of course, speaking of the arts. Right now, I'd like to welcome Rabbi Jonah Pesner. He is speaking here at Temple Beth Shalom this weekend. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's great to be here. And I should say Boker Tov Santa Fe, which means good morning, Santa Fe, in Hebrew.
Good morning. Okay. So you do something called congregation-based community organizing.
I do.
What is that?
Congregation-based community organizing was born out of the work of Saul Alinsky in the 1930s. And Saul Alinsky's name is hot right now because people may know that Hillary Clinton wrote her thesis at Wellesley about Alinsky. And Barack Obama was trained as a community organizer by the Industrial Areas Foundation, which is the Alinsky Organization. So congregation-based community organizing, in essence, tries to create relationships between churches, mosques, synagogues, and other civic institutions like unions to build power for social and economic justice.
So this sounds like a liberal thing, is it? Or is it a sort of nonpartisan thing?
One of Alinsky's phrases was, no permanent enemies, no permanent allies. And it's very important that we're nonpartisan. It's not a liberal thing or a conservative thing. What it is it's about churches, synagogues, and mosques engaging in their own communities and making social change. And I have to tell you, I live in Boston, which has a Democratic mayor, a Democratic governor, and a Democratic attorney general. And we have plenty of tension with them around the kinds of things that we want to see happen in the public schools and in the healthcare system.
So what kind of things do you want to see happen in, for example, those two arenas?
Yeah, well, all politics are local, so it all depends on where you are. I know here in Santa Fe, there's a lot of concern about public education and the quality of the schools. We're right now in a fight in Massachusetts around funding our universal health care bill, which is a great bill, and 300,000 people have gotten health care access this year that didn't have it last year. This year, we need to protect and defend that, and you will absolutely hear from anybody who knows Massachusetts politics, those 300,000 people got health care because of the power of the churches and the synagogues working together.
So you are, you know, you have a congregation and, you know, there's priests and ministers and nuns. It sounds like a joke you're about to tell.
I have a lot of jokes in my life, let me tell you.
So how do you come together? I mean, is it congregation-based? Do you talk to your congregation and say, what shall we do, and then go to the others, or is it sort of more top-down?
Alinsky had this dream about building sustainable organizations in local communities. So you'll have across the country in communities like in Albuquerque, where there is such an organization, a collection of 25 or 30 churches and synagogues, and often a union or two and a mosque or two. And they go through this very transformative process where each church or institution internally has lots of one-on-one conversations and house meetings where they tell stories about what's really wrong or broken in their community. And in Santa Fe, it might be public schools. In Boston, it might be the healthcare system. But whatever the stories are that emerge that are shared stories of injustice, then there are conversations across lines of race, class, and faith to break down old barriers of neighborhood and class and get people talking to each other across the pews and figure out what the commonalities are so that if we wanted to act together, where we could count on getting our 10, 20, or 30,000 folks together to go down to the State House or down to City Hall early and often and make sure that our elected leaders and our business leaders know what we care about together.
This storytelling within your own congregation seems like an important part of the whole process.
It's huge, and that's why I said it was transformative. I have a guy in my congregation. He's a professor of philosophy at a Boston area university, and in one of these house meetings, he actually told the story that his 25-year-old daughter was about to become the uninsured. And for an upper-middle-class white Jewish guy to admit in his own synagogue that he couldn't afford to buy her a private health plan because she was going off the university health plan transformed the way we think about a religious institution, because people often just show up, they do services, they do life cycle, and nobody ever asks them what's real for them, what's alive for them. Imagine people like Roger telling their story all over the congregation. Then that place becomes a place where their real lives matter. And him hearing other stories from other members of the congregation who are also struggling with injustices and realizing these are not private personal sufferings, these are public problems that need public solutions.
One of the things that we've seen in the various Republican administrations, including the current one, is what looks like an attempt to shirk responsibility for social programs by putting them onto the churches. I mean, are you sort of feeding into that inadvertently? Yeah. Or?
No, I hope not. I mean, one of the biggest public relations problems we had when we started getting into this work about 6 or 7 years ago, and from my perspective, just to take a step back, Alinsky started this stuff in the 30s, and it was largely church-based. Here in the Southwest, it was largely Latino Catholic parishes. In the Northeast, it was African-American churches. Only in the last decade have Jews gotten into this, and it was out of a frustration that Jewish folks in their synagogues wanted to have an impact on social change and were tired of feeding people in soup kitchens and tired of tutoring kids in volunteer programs. They wanted to have a real impact.
On the roots of the problem
rather
than the effects.
Systemic addressing of systemic issues. And we've been very powerful and effective as a result. So as we and the Jewish community launched a major initiative to engage more synagogues across the country, we started calling it faith-based community organizing. Just at the time the president was talking about faith-based initiatives. This is the opposite, right?
What faith-based? So you had to change your name.
We did. We said, all right, we'll be congregation-based community organizing. To be clear, we're doing community organizing, not initiatives.
So tell us more about some of the projects that you have been directly involved in the, you're based in the Boston area.
Yeah. The first thing that Temple Israel is a synagogue that I go to, and it's part of the Greater Boston Interfaith Organization, which is one of these Alinsky organizations in the Greater Boston area. It's about 50 churches, synagogues, and mosques, about 60,000 people. The very first campaign that we went through 10 years ago was out of the one-on-ones and house meetings, there was a recognition when people would tell stories about how folks living in Roxbury, Dorchester, Mattapan, the inner city neighborhoods, they didn't have textbooks in the schools. But the folks in Newton and Brookline, their kids had textbooks.
They probably had swimming pools.
Oh, yeah. There was a stark gap between what was going on in the burbs and what was going on in the city. So together, the folks from the churches and the synagogues in the city and the folks from the suburbs went to the mayor and asked for $2 million to make sure that every kid in every Boston public school had a textbook, and he said no. In fact, he called us the Greater Boston Idiots Organization because he didn't like it when churches and synagogues started speaking truth to power, which is what Alinsky talked about, right? So
That seems like a pretty hard position for him to justify, just politically alone.
This is a guy, Mayor Menino, who has been very effective at building a political machine, and this is why I say it's nonpartisan. You know, he's a very progressive Democrat, but he didn't like our agenda, right? He wants it to be on his agenda, and he had other priorities. So GBIO put a lot of pressure on each city councilor that represented the districts of all the, where the churches and the synagogues are based. The city council held up the mayor's budget until he added the $2 million. We got textbooks in the schools. That's a small victory, but a very good example of the way this works on a local level.
Now that seems like something that experienced sort of political organizers would be good at rather than little well-meaning church ladies or, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's, I mean, you have to cut your teeth on stuff like this. It's not easy.
Yeah, no, we encourage all of our ministers and priests and rabbis and lay leaders to go to training for 8 days to learn how to do this stuff. One of the reasons we're part of these local organizations that are sustainable from issue to issue is that the local organizers become our teachers and trainers to teach us how to do political work. And part of the sea change and the culture change, at least in my religious movement, the Jewish community and the Reformed Jewish community, is seeing the synagogue as a public actor in the public drama, not as either the provider of services to the poor or even, you know, religious services, but as a relevant, what we would call a mediating institution, right? They're in the public space, the synagogue has a claim on the funding of schools, on the funding of healthcare, on affordable housing, on the environment, on immigration policy, which is very big. A lot of the churches and synagogues here in the Southwest are organizing around immigrants and immigrant rights.
We're talking to Rabbi Jonah Pesner, and he will be speaking at Temple Beth Shalom today and tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, and we'll be giving more information about that at the end of this program. What are the theological or biblical foundations for the kind of work you're doing with congregation-based community organizing?
Oh, beautiful. I love that question, and I thank you for asking, because often what I do sounds so political, it loses its rootedness, which is in our faith tradition. This week, the Jewish community reads from the section of the Bible where the Israelites in the wilderness build the tabernacle. And God says in that command, build this tabernacle so I can dwell among them. And the rabbinic commentators make a lot about the misgrammar that God uses. God should have said, build a tabernacle and I'll dwell in it, like this physical space. And they use that to teach that God was saying, I don't dwell in a space. I don't dwell in a cathedral. I don't dwell in a synagogue. I dwell among people. So we build people power, right? And in our churches and our mosques and our synagogues, we're trying to bring people together to have God's presence be real. And as much as I love praying and I love studying, for me, God is only real and present and alive when we're actually doing something and something changes. And to the idea that we could be praying in a Friday night service while people are out on the streets begging for food, or while the environment is slipping into catastrophe, or while immigrants are living in detention centers instead of finding new lives for their families, this is untenable.
And yet you still do pray on Friday nights, because that's part of what grounds you, I imagine.
I do, and thank you, because Rabbi Heschel, Abraham Joshua Heschel, used to teach that every prayer for him was an injunction to act. Every time we say, blessed are you, O God, who frees the captive, that's a reminder to us that we do that work. God is the source of inspiration, God is the source of the power, but we're the ones who act in the world to make it happen. So every time I pray, and hopefully every time our folks pray, it's an injunction to do and to be in the world, not just to retreat into some sort of spiritual nirvana where we forget our responsibility.
So you're part of the movement called Reform Judaism. What about Orthodox Judaism? Is that world also involved in this congregation-based community organizing?
Less than we are, frankly. And we would love to see our more traditional partners join us. And it's true across the spectrum that it tends to be the more religiously liberal, in this case I'll use the word liberal, or more religiously open streams of each religious tradition that join in these interfaith efforts, because there's less obstacles to being in an interfaith authentic way of relating and acting. But there are certainly some conservative synagogues that have joined in this work, and increasingly there's a conversation in the Orthodox Jewish community about a healthy way to do this work and honor the Jewish tradition and do it in a way that's comfortable for them.
Boston, where I used to live, is one of the most weirdly segregated places I've ever known. I mean, it's different from New York, it's different from Santa Fe, it's different from a lot of places. There's a little black neighborhood and a little Latino neighborhood and a Dominican Cuban neighborhood. Why is it so segregated, and what challenges does that present in the coming together of churches and congregations?
Yeah, 10 years ago when the Greater Boston Interfaith Organization was founded, which is only 10 years, right? So it's, I guess it was 1996, was the pre-work, in 1997 it launched. Every leader who was from Boston said to the religious leaders who were trying to put this interfaith group together, you can't do it. It cannot be done. The Jews, the black Christians, the Catholics, the Brahmins will never come together. And the reason why I think the mayor called us the Greater Boston Interfaith Greater Boston Idiots Organization was because we were able to bridge the gap. And it turns out when you do it from the bottom up and not the top down, people are hungry for this. We have folks that every time there's some meeting or assembly or action at a church in Dorchester, or at a synagogue in Newton, or at a church in South Boston, you see the buses pull up, and the folks from across lines of race, class, and faith who at the pew level want to be inside of the church that is a mile and a half down the road, but they never would have had an opportunity to go into. And because it's not some top-down process where their religious leaders are telling them what to do, but it's an organic process where they spend an hour talking to this person across the line, they really develop a relationship, and after the relationship, they feel obligated, connected, and responsible one for the other, and that becomes sustainable. I now have a deep set of social relationships across lines of race, class, and faith in Boston because of the 10 years of work we've been doing together.
What are some of the other areas that you're addressing? Actual projects. I mean, you talked about the textbooks in the schools. There must be a bunch of others.
Yeah, there are three campaigns we're in right now, just in the Boston area. Making sure that the healthcare bill is well financed and that we protect that. And we have a Democratic legislature and a Democratic governor. So I want to be very clear, this is not partisan, because if they cut that budget, we lose this health reform. The second is, and this is a great example of how this all works, there was a series of shootings of young people in the inner city neighborhoods. And some of our church folks came together and said, we've got to start addressing some of this. The stories we were hearing were really about parents who were afraid to let their kids out, even in the middle of the day. And then we started hearing stories out of the suburbs about parents who were afraid to send their kids to a party because there was going to be drug overdoses, and other parents who were afraid because there was a suicide rate that was out of control. We had three teenagers commit suicide in Needham, which is a suburb of Boston, in one stretch of time. And there was a recognition that if we actually worked together as urban and suburban churches and synagogues, we could put more pressure on the legislature to fund programs to intervene with teens at risk, whether it's for suicide prevention, drug use, or gang violence. So that's one campaign we're in. Another campaign we're in is called an Aging with Dignity campaign. When we did all of our house meetings and all of our one-on-ones, one of the stories that we heard is a group of people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s who are really struggling with caring for their elders, their parents who are there trying to keep at home, or who are in nursing homes, who the conditions are abominable. We have folks in our churches who work in some of those institutions or home health aides, and there was a recognition that this is a problem that cuts across all our institutions. So we're right now in an Aging with Dignity campaign where we're going to try and do three things: get the state to have better standards for both home health care and nursing homes, where the workforce is going to get invested in. There'll be minimum wages, there'll be workforce training and education, and there'll be a better system for the state to help individuals navigate all of the various different state agencies about getting elder care access.
We're talking to Rabbi Jonah Pesner, who is in Santa Fe for the weekend, is going to be talking at Temple Beth Shalom today and tomorrow. How do you get young people involved? I mean, you just were talking about the problems of youth. I would think that getting young people involved in churches and temples and synagogues and so on would be part of the campaign as well.
It's a great question, and it's one of the wonderful upsides of the kind of work that we do. One of my mentors, Marshall Gans, who used to be a great picker with Cesar Chavez back in the United Farm Workers movement, now teaches this stuff at Harvard, likes to say that every social movement has been populated by the energy of young people. And implicit in that is the notion that 20 and 30-year-olds want to be part of something real and relevant. Look at the Obama campaign, which is a classic grassroots organizing campaign. One of the things that we're seeing is that our churches and our synagogues are becoming magnets for young people who see the campaigns that we're in and the work that we're doing, and that we're actually starting with people and their stories rather than with some top-down agenda. And they don't want people telling them what they ought to think or feel or do. They don't want the rabbi telling them what their agenda is. They want a rabbi who says, who are you and what do you care about and how should this institution reflect your values? So we see, you know, a ton of young folks coming in and changing the way that we act because we're open to what happens when they come in and populate this kind of movement.
And young people who are saturated with stories coming at them probably don't have as many opportunities as they need to tell their own stories.
Right, right. No, I think that's really fair and really, really good. And they have great stories to tell. No, just people need to be listening.
What are you doing in Santa Fe this weekend?
I'm going to be speaking this morning. I'm very excited to an interfaith clergy group here. There'll be pastors from various Christian denominations. There'll be rabbis. And my hope really is to proposition those folks that if they have the appetite and the interest, they could form a broad-based organization right here in Santa Fe, work with their sister organization in Albuquerque, and be part of building statewide power to make real change in New Mexico around immigration policy, around public education, and around healthcare access and reform. You know, I was invited to come be with those folks, but ultimately this is their town, and this is, you know, it's their agenda, so we'll see.
And you will also be speaking at the temple.
Right. Tonight I'll be giving the sermon, although before the sermon I'll be meeting with a group of key leaders at the synagogue where I'll make that same proposition and ask them if they have the appetite. And then the sermon, for me, just showing up and giving a sermon is really entertainment unless it doesn't have a context. So the context of this really is to proposition Temple Beth Shalom, to join together with the churches, to reach across lines of class and faith and get in with the Latino Catholics in this community, to get in with the liberal church community and the more evangelical church community, and figure out whether there's something we can do here. Hopefully the sermon then will be some of the inspiration and the theological grounding of it so that people remember why it's Jewish and why it's religious.
It seems like in Santa Fe, it wouldn't be too hard to do that because everybody already knows each other already since it's such a small town. You go to other places and do what you're doing here. You spread the word about congregation-based community organizing. Do you then follow up and see how their projects are going?
Yeah, we go where there's appetite and demand. So we're doing real deep projects in California and Chicago because the local leaders there really wanted to build statewide power in Illinois and California. And the two healthcare campaigns in both Illinois and California are driven partly by the energy of this grassroots organizing from the churches and synagogues. if the folks in New Mexico want to organize, we will come and help them organize.
Jonah Pesner is a rabbi from Massachusetts who's visiting Temple Beth Shalom. If you want to find out more information, the number over there is 982-1376. And what are you doing tomorrow?
We're going to start the morning with some text study, which we do whenever we organize. We're going to do an hour of scripture and really locate this work in the biblical text. And that would be a great thing for Christians or Muslims to come to, too, because what makes this not just political forcing of one interest group on another is that we really do try and remember that there's a sacred task that's bigger than ourselves. We'll do a Shabbat morning service after that, read by Rabbi Schwab, who's the senior rabbi of the congregation. And then we'll do a lunch, and in the afternoon we're going to model some of this relationship building. We're going to do little mini house meetings where people get to tell their stories and experience what it's like to build this from the bottom up.
So if people are listening to this and they want to get involved, they should just call the temple?
I think so, yeah. Or just come by. You know, everybody's welcome at Shabbat. It'd be great to see people tonight or tomorrow morning. What time are we tonight? What time is it tonight, the service?
7:30
for services, and tomorrow morning I think it's at 9:30 in the morning.
Rabbi Jonah Pesner, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And once again, the number at Temple Beth Shalom is 982-1376. We're going to take a little break right now. Robert Knott will be with us in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Too much carbon monoxide for me to after car, after truck, after this, my lungs will be so f***ed up. I wish I was in that Mercedes Benz, sealed away from my sins. I'd have the music high, going 95.
That is music from Cake, from their latest disc, Pressure Chief. But I wanted to talk about this song, Carbon Monoxide, because something happened to me a few weeks ago, which is that I was awakened on a Saturday morning by the brain-piercing sound of my carbon monoxide and gas detector. And I got up and didn't want to get up and eventually called PNM, and they came over and said that my water heater had a carbon monoxide leak. And if that thing hadn't gone off, I would probably not be here today, ladies and gentlemen. So I just want to encourage everybody to get a carbon monoxide and gas detector in their house if they don't have one, because it actually saves lives, like it saved mine. I'd like to welcome Robert Knott. He's the associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. Welcome, Robert.
Good morning. How does the Pasatiempo cover look to you?
It looks like something where you should put on red and green 3D glasses in order to have a 3D experience. Oh my goodness, I'm doing it right now. And yes, it's just popping out at you. Does it come with 3D glasses in the Pasatiempo?
The cover story by Paul Weideman is about the School for Advanced Research's new website, which includes some 3D images, and 3D is great. So if you look at the cover today, you're a little askew. They tell me if you look at it cross-eyed, that works. But the thing is, you need 3D glasses.
You need 3D glasses.
So you got two options. The School for American Research will provide them for you, or if you are among the first 100 people to show up at the New Mexican between, say, the next 10 minutes and noon, you can get a copy of these 3D glasses, and you will meet Paul Weideman, who wrote the story, and you will meet Josh Ardaz, who's from the School for Advanced Research, and he will have his computer on and show you the images on the website. You don't have to buy nothing. It ain't about getting subscriptions or prescriptions or even conscriptions. Just show up, get your 3D glasses, and look at the cover. If you don't have a Pasa, you can buy one there, but there really is no obligation. So, and if you've shown up before 8:30, I apologize. We should have prepared for that. We'll probably be ready about 8:45. So 3D glasses, those are great.
3D glasses are great. Now, before anything, I want to welcome Lalo Graham, who is joining us to talk about the fact that today is Leap Year Day, and there's a creative celebration going on tonight. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
What's happening?
Well, as we know, Leap Year Day is a kind of a not very thought of day,
Yeah, you only think of it every 4 years.
You think of it every 4 years, and it's intended just, its purpose is to balance the calendar, right? I mean, it was made so that the days of the year can be in concurrence with the seasons of the year, and so that Christmas doesn't drift into spring. And so today is a perfect excuse to think about adjustments in our own lives or to do things out of the ordinary. And so we've created an event tonight to celebrate that fact.
So what's happening at this event and where is it?
The event is at 825 Early Street. It's at a yoga studio called Yoga Moves. And there will
That's right next to the Laundromat.
Yeah, it's next to there, and it's next to the climbing gym as well. So it's sandwiched between the two.
And so what will actually be happening?
Well, there'll be regular party things like munchies and socializing and music and dancing, but we're
Robert's getting a head start on the munching.
But we also want to encourage out of the ordinariness. And so we're going to have something called a wall of possibilities where people will be able to make new initiatives and create new connections today.
And so they can put their new initiative, whatever project they're working with, on the wall. Somebody else can see it. They connect with each other.
Yeah. The idea is to connect with new people today, to use today as an excuse to either create a new initiative, to do something out of the ordinary, or to make a new connection.
So all of this is happening at the Yoga Move Studio at 825 Early Street,
yes.
Starting at
7:30 p.m. and going until it ends.
Going until it ends, which could be
late.
Could be tomorrow.
It could be past Santa Fe midnight, 9:30 p.m., right?
Oh, heavens. Heavens to Murgatroyd. Lalo, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Robert Knott.
That whole leap year thing gets me thrown. I don't know why they didn't just figure this out in the days of Gregorian, whatever his name was.
Because the year is 365 and a quarter.
Who made that up, though? Somebody could have just fixed this so we didn't have this problem every 4 years.
Oh, yeah. You can fix the revolution of the Earth around the sun?
Well, I'm all for revolt, depending on what's happening and if there's food and stuff.
If you can fix that, tonight. You're even more godlike than I already thought.
Well, it's too late now. It's also Sadie Hawkins Day, which Al Capp
yes.
came up with years ago, even though that's set in November. But there's this whole thing about women chasing men on this day and getting them. Is that a little passé?
Don't ask me.
I see. Well, anyway, I suppose you can make a proposition, but I'm having a hard time with my prepositions. Anyway, there's a lot going on this weekend, including the play Duet. Over at El Museo Cultural de Santa Fe, 1615B, as in Bouncy, Paseo de Peralta, runs this weekend. I have not yet seen it. I think it's about, what are those two famous actresses, Eleanor Atuza and Sandra Bernhardt, or Sarah Bernhardt, one or the other?
Sarah Bernhardt. Sandra Bernhardt is a completely different person.
Is she the comedian?
Yeah.
Well, that might make the piece more fun. But I haven't seen it yet. Red Thread's doing it. It's over there at El Museo Cultural. Go see it if you like. Cabaret, Santa Fe Prep School doing it up at the Santa Fe Prep, 1101 Camino Cruz Blanca, 7:30 p.m. tonight. Girl Facing West is Susana Guillaume's one-woman show at 8 o'clock tonight at the Rail Yard. There are so many things happening tonight. Aren't your friends Camp Loveway doing something, Living on the Edge?
Actually, Camp Lovewave, I have the thing right here, says that Friday night at 7 p.m. at the Film Center, Taryn Lovewave presents Camp Lovewave is Living on the Edge, sort of a Prairie Home Companion on Acid variety
Yikes.
Show with a twist, or twisted. Highlights include the controversial Dave Icke on the big screen, local rock group Catnip Tea, and Psychic Illusion by Taryn. Oh my goodness. And portion of the proceeds go to benefit the Santa Fe Food Depot. And then tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, they will have Camp Love Wave, part one of a one-hour conversation with author Tom Robbins.
Excellent. Also over the weekend, tomorrow night at the Lenzic, is the Kepler Project.
Yes, we had an interview on that yesterday.
What do you know about this guy, Johannes Kepler?
He was an astronomer born in the late 16th century who made a bunch of basically progress in what we know about astronomy and the elliptical orbits of the planets and stuff like that.
There we go with those words.
Well, if you know.
Is he responsible for this leap year stuff? Was he around in those days?
Indirectly.
I see. So anyway, the guy that had a hand in all this is having a show tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Lenzic.
Which is actually a musical, among other things, as well. It's apparently pretty rockin'.
The Kepler Project?
Yeah.
Well, it's by Nina West, and I can't remember the
Nina
name.
Nina Wise.
Yeah? Well, I'm glad she changed her name. And she worked with some mathematician to put the piece together. They've been working on it for 4 years, and it's 7:30 at the Lenzic tomorrow night. And we all know the Lenzic phone number, don't we?
988-1234.
So go and see it. Local actors appearing in it. it, Kepler, Galileo, some of those other astronomers that came up with gravity and the laws of inertia, which means I can go home and take a nap. Did you know anything about Rhythm of Fire 2008?
Why, no.
I see. Well, let me edify you. The Bellissima Irish Dance Company is going to have live musical accompaniment and do this thing tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the James A. Little Theater over in the School for the Deaf. You got to pay to get in. Tickets are at Kick's Dancewear on Cerritos Road, or you can call 982-9277. Looks like it's going to be fun Irish stuff tomorrow at 7, a couple weeks early for St. Paddy's Day, which at least we know what day that's on. None of this four-year nonsense where they mess it up on us because of some Gregorian chant guy. Also, the Prairie Dog Festival. I know you'll like that because you have some dogs, don't you?
I do have some dogs, and my dogs have been known to eat, especially Honey, has been known to eat prairie dogs. Chase them down, kill them, and eat them. It's
terrible.
Well, that's
putting
a wet
washcloth on a conversation. You know, what are you bringing something like that up for?
Well, you asked if I had dogs, and I couldn't lie.
Well, now, anyway, if you want to protect the prairie dogs from predators like Mary Charlotte's delightful treat.
I don't let her do it anymore.
What do you mean, you let her? There was a time when you said go ahead, you allowed it?
No, I just, at that point, I didn't, she had a hole under the fence, and she used it.
Here we go. This is great. Last time I had a hole under the fence when I was in county jail, I got out. Prairie Dog Festival, 11 to 3 on Saturday at Jackalope.
At Jackalope.
That's right.
On Cerritos Road.
That's right.
In Santa Fe.
No charge. Head on down there and see. They're going to have all sorts of things, and the blues group The Dreamers will be there.
Hey, I have an announcement which has nothing to do with the arts at all, which is that I got an email from somebody who is looking for a home for a very sweet Labrador retriever, or Labrador shepherd mix, actually, named Casey, who has spent most of its life living in the great outdoors, somebody who had a lot of land. They moved. They can't keep the dog. If you have any room to give the dog and love to give the dog, call 690-9082.
I never mind when you interrupt for animals. That goes before
I break for animals.
You should break for animals, kitties and puppies. You know what's strange? I don't think we've ever discussed this, but my cat Keystone is in the other room in the morning, and like, she knows when I'm awake even without seeing my face. Like, I wake up and I'm just looking.
It's when the snoring stops.
She knows, she's like in the kitchen and I'm awake. I'm laying there for like 2 minutes and all of a sudden she's wow, and just, you know, it's bizarre. It's scary. How does she know the snoring stops? How do you know that? Living Out is a College of Santa Fe production.
I don't know.
Clara Soyster's directing. It's about nannies from different cultures and the antics they get involved in. Opens tonight, runs through the weekend at the Greer Garson Theater on the College of Santa Fe campus, 1600 St. Michael's Drive. You want a phone number? I'm going to give you one.
Give me.
473-6511. My mother was really tough when we were growing up. Like, she'd say, I'll give it to you. She always sounded like Ma Kettle or Bud Abbott. She'd be like, oh, you want it, eh? So no wonder I have this sort of attitude. What do you know about the Little Globe Open House?
You tell us.
Well, I'm as baffled as you, but it's a new local nonprofit that's trying to do socially conscious art projects.
They were the ones responsible for Memory Lines
last
year.
Spring at the Lens.
Which I missed, I'm embarrassed to say, and which I heard was fabulous.
It was a pretty darn good community project about the different cultures in Santa Fe, and I thought it was a really terrific program, actually. Anyway, they're having an open house from 2 to 4 on Saturday, pardon me, Sunday.
Sunday. Where's that at?
It's, thanks for asking, 223 North Guadalupe Street. I can't quite figure out in my head where that is, but it's called Little Globe Inc. I'm going to give you a phone number, 989-1437.
Hey, Big Dreams Little Tokyo has been held
still
over
running
at the Film Center.
What a nice little picture.
Everyone believes me that it's good.
And it
if you
is
haven't
good
seen it yet, it is good.
Wait
I
a minute.
Love that movie.
I pitch in.
Okay, we love that movie.
I'm incandescent with you on this one.
What?
We were talking about the Gregorian chants when you had that other guy on. What was his name again?
Lalo?
Lalo, okay.
Lalo is an abbreviation for Eduardo in Spanish.
Okay, I like Eduardo and I like Lalo. That's cool. Anyway, he was talking about the Gregorian days. And on Tuesday at 7 o'clock, if you want to learn more about these mysteries, there's going to be a discussion called Unlocking the Mysteries of Gregorian Chant.
Mm.
And it's going to be a lecture by Billy Turney, 7 o'clock Tuesday, San Miguel Mission at 401 Old Santa Fe Trail. Is that the downtown mission, the really old one? I think it is, and it's no charge. This is Tuesday at 7, phone number 474-2815. Also that night, Creative Conversation and Celebration with Creative Santa Fe. They're going to discuss plans for the Rail Yard Arts Center and Creative Santa Fe's projects and events, 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday. Vanessa, but you got a RSVP, which means?
Respondez, s'il vous plaît. or something like that.
You got to be kidding me. That's what it means?
Yeah.
How about that?
Huh. I don't speak French. I just pretend.
Anyway, you got to pay a few bucks to get in. You're supposed to let them know by March 3rd. Call 989-9934. I had no idea it was a French affair. Those things are always a lot of fun. They don't know how to kiss over there. They actually use their tongues.
Hey, you know, on you've heard of Wise Fool.
I certainly
Wise
have.
Fool has cabarets, and they have one coming up a week from today. I thought I'd let people know in advance. It's called Women and Creativity Cabaret, and it's to celebrate National Women's Month, which is March. And they're collaborating with the National Hispanic Cultural Center and putting on this special cabaret. For more information... There's no number.
Stumbled. Well, that's not your fault, is it? We've talked about this many times.
No, we have talked about this.
Get your phone numbers in on those press releases.
But we'll talk about it again in a week because it's at Wise Fool on Agua Fria in Santa Fe.
And sometimes we get it wrong anyway, but sometimes you guys give it to us wrong, and so we are
doing
our best.
That is so true.
Tuesday night is the Slavic Soul Party. Do you know anything about them? They're a Brooklyn-based sort of gypsy brass funk band. They're going to play
at
8 o'clock.
They sound fabulous. Where are they going to play?
In the SUB. You know what that stands for?
Huh.
Student Union Building. See that? I got you. You know the French stuff, but the minute it comes to Americana, man, call
on me. Oh, you're talking Albuquerque.
No, I'm talking the College of Santa Fe.
Oh, they have a sub?
They have a sub. It's over there at 1600 St. Michael's Drive. You got to pay to get in at the door, 473-6217. Meanwhile, on Wednesday...
You know so much.
I'm willing to learn. That's the difference. I don't know too much. I don't deny that I'm a little bit... what do you call it when you don't know a lot of things?
Ignorant?
Huh?
Ignorant?
Yeah, but I try to learn. I don't pretend that I know more than I do, so...
I'm just kidding. We love Robert not exactly
the
way he is.
There we go again. Sweeten me up because it's good for the...
It's true.
People don't want to be yelling at you because your dogs are eating prairie dogs.
Hey, did you see this girl facing west tonight and tomorrow at the rail yard?
No, I haven't seen her. I've been looking east. You should see the girl.
No, the performance, the one-woman show.
Checking out that redhead crossing the street. She wants to know if I'm... I mentioned that earlier, but go
you
ahead.
Did?
Reiterate.
No, no.
It's fine. I like it.
I don't want to reiterate.
It says something about you and I, doesn't it, every week?
About you and me.
No, about us two.
That's a pronoun thing, Robert. I'm not going to let you get away with using the incorrect pronoun.
I never get away with anything on this show. I should just get away. The Love Armor Love-In. Only in Santa Fe, Wednesday. Help stitch together knitted yarn sections to make a form-fitting cover for a life-size Humvee. All right, you're going to have to tell me what a Humvee is. H-U-M-V-E-E.
It's a very big automobile.
Okay, that's great.
That uses way too much gas.
So here we go, some Texans.
And contributes
some
to global
SUVs
warming
and make
and
a form-fitting cover for it. But it's part of the Love Armor project that artist Shirley Klinghoffer's doing, which premieres later this summer at the Center for Contemporary Arts. But anyway, if you want to get in on this stitching together of this huge thing, it's 5:30 Wednesday. It's free. It's at CCA, which we all know is at 1050 Old Pecos Trail. Phone number 982-1338. Say, what time is it?
Say, it's 8:47.
What kind of dream did you have last night?
I don't remember.
Huh.
How about you?
You want to hear?
Yeah.
Can I say on the radio?
No.
It's not that naughty. I'll tell you later if you ask me. Peter Pesek's playing, 12:10 Thursday, right after noon. Junior Common Room, Peterson Student Center at St. John's College, 984-6000, no charge. And speaking of SAR, School for Advanced Research, which is on our cover, I want to reiterate that before we close off. They're doing a lecture on an Indian teacher among Indians, Native women as federal employees from the 1880s through the 1930s. So it's a really good historical lecture being done by Kathleen Cahill, who's a UNM history professor. And that is at the SAR Boardroom at 660 Garcia Street, no charge. And this, again, is around... this is on Thursday, and guess what? Paso Tiempo did not get the time in there. Oh, yes, we did. Noon. I got it.
If it's not a number, like if it's a word like noon, it's harder to see.
It's little stuff like that. It's the idea that I'm the prairie dog and you're one of your dogs, and somehow or other...
Are you calling me a predator?
No, I'm just saying it. You know, it's a little thing like that I can't see the word. And
you could get me on these all the time. You just choose not to.
How can I get them on you when your vocabulary is so much more pronounced than mine?
You know the word noon.
Oh, man, it's going to be high noon around here in a few hours. Ballroom and Latin dancing on Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. at the dance station. Go over there and learn how to dance. I'm continually trying to master this dance of, shall we call it, battle of wits, with one of us being in a lot of trouble because I never have enough ammunition. on
Who's
the show.
Who's got ammunition? You're Mr. Ammunition.
I'm Mr. Ammunition.
You are.
I'm Mr. Meaner is what I am. Anyway, so get over there Thursday night at the Dance Station. You know where that is, don't you?
The Dance Station is in the same plaza as Women's Health and the Marketplace, now known as the Montañita Co-op Supermarket.
And my laundromat where I do my laundry.
Oh, well, that's so good to know.
I run into more and more people there now that are doing their laundry there. Do you think that's incandescent again, or do you think that's just coincidence?
What are you talking about, incandescent?
You know, like the fact that people hear me and then they show up to see me doing laundry.
What does that have to do with light bulbs?
What's light bulbs?
Incandescent. Avi's Mambo Room, what's tomorrow that? Night, March 1st at Cloud Cliff Restaurant.
From
there's a free New York-style salsa class with admission from 8:30 to 9:30. There's door prizes, and their door prizes are good. There's wine and beer. There's edibles and salsa suave entertainment. Good DJs. Cloud Cliff Restaurant is at 1805 2nd Street in Santa Fe. For more information, 670-0612.
Let's mention something we don't generally talk about instead of things you can do on the weekend, but things you can do to help others. If you want to volunteer for nonprofits or get involved, just to list a few things. CCA is always looking for people to help out. Ushering, office staff, give them a ring, 982-1338. The Georgia O'Keeffe is looking for people to help with educational programs, volunteers, 946-1013. Red Thread Collective, we mentioned they're doing the play duet. They're looking for ushers through the rest of the run, so give them a ring at 455-1200. The Santa Fe Children's Museum, which we love to go to. We like to go there and play. You learn how to like...
You like to go there and play?
Yeah, you get to make houses out of whipped cream and stuff like that. They're looking for adult and teen volunteers to help with the kids to do antics and stuff, handle the snakes, 989-8359. And the Santa Fe Film Center is looking for volunteers as well. Call 310-9997 if you want to usher and do stuff over there.
And CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates, Spring Volunteer Training starts on March 19th in Santa Fe. They're recruiting people to get more people into the class, and they're having informational meetings. If you want to find out, the next informational meeting is Thursday, the 6th of March from 6 to 7 at the Aldea Community Center. For more information and to RSVP, call CASA at 820-1500. And it's a very worthy organization, and it's an incredible way to make a difference in the lives of young people who really need a supportive adult in their lives.
They do. What time is it?
8:51.
Okay, I want to reiterate the SAR stuff. Is that all right? People that tuned in early or late. If you pick up the PASA cover, it's in 3D. You need 3D glasses to see the images from the School for Advanced Research's website, which includes images that are done in 3D. 3D is terrific. There's this old Three Stooges movie, I doubt you saw it, where they go to this haunted house and Mo Howard pokes his eyes at the camera because it's in 3D, and you got to put your glasses on and the fingers come right at you. But anyway, so you need 3D glasses, and you can go to the School for Advanced Research to get them. But if you show up at the Paso Tiempo between now and noon today, I mean at the New Mexican 202 East Marcy Street downtown, good luck finding parking.
Can I have your glasses?
Maybe I will give you the one pair I brought with me.
If I'm just nice.
Oh, that would be a big F, huh? Yes, of course, you're always nice to me. You're just a delight. You're an absolute... You're the confetti on the sugar. You're the confectionery in the box that's always spilling on my floor and my dogs are licking up.
Hey, on the Meow Wolf Gallery, today from 6 to 10 o'clock is the last chance to visit the installation Meow Zors.
It's a last
Before
chance.
They tear it down, there will be some ambient music by Father Meow. Of the Flood. And all of that is on 2nd Street, just right at the, basically right after you turn onto 2nd Street from Cerrillos.
Mm-hmm.
It is on the left-hand side, Meow Wolf Gallery.
And there's a story in today's Paso Tiempo by Elizabeth Cook Romero about Meow Wolf. There's also a fun story in Paso by Paul Weideman on how to make an igloo, even though winter's coming to an end, which is different from when you dig a hole out of a big mound of snow. That's called a kinzie, Q-U-I-N-Z-E-E. So that's not an igloo. But you can make an igloo if you read the PASA, and you can also see the story on School for Advanced Research and get your 3D glasses so you can look right in these things and see this guy like poking the fingers at you.
And if you want to go to Tsuki to see some art, there's stuff going on tomorrow and the following Saturday at Salon Margraf. And the number over there, lots of different artists, including Stena and Woody Faselka, Suzanne Carlisle, Bruce Hamilton, Mariana Amster, and many more. If you want to find out more information, I am scrolling down to get that number. 955-0471.
What's this that you're drinking?
Oh, I'm back on the air?
Yeah.
Apparently.
I'm having cranberry delight. something like that.
This is great. I show up every week. I get a glass of water. The guy gets a milkshake. He just shows up.
I paid $6 for mine.
Oh, you had to pay.
Yeah.
Why don't you reiterate your program? What's happening tonight?
Tonight is the event that can only happen once every 4 years, Leap Year Day Party, celebration of the extraordinary or the strange. Or the out of the box.
At 825 Early Street.
What
why
time?
Why are we repeating? Have you run out of everything?
No, sometimes people tune in a little late and then they say, I didn't hear the first 5 minutes. I can't every week go on with that, but once in a while, since he was here and he's drinking a cranberry delight or something, I thought we would give a guy an extra 2 minutes.
All right, then.
Here I am trying to show my, what do you call it when you're
respect?
Trying to...
Magnanimity?
Magnanimity.
Magnanimity.
Get my hands on the dictionary, find out if that means what I think it means.
It just means great-souledness. Having a great soul.
Thank you. I accept.
You're welcome.
What time is it?
8:54. 8:55.
Okay. In that case, I don't want to put up, competition, but just so you know, there's some sort of sound installation all day long over at the Atrium Sound Space, Benilde's Hall, College of Santa Fe today. I don't think this is just Leap Year. It's called To the Lighthouse. It's worked by Michael Dotolo, D-O-T-O-L-O. Runs through April 10th. I don't believe there's a reception, but swing on by there. You already mentioned Meow Wolf. There's also at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation at 5:30, one of those things that you always pronounce right that I can never pronounce, S-O-I-R-E-E.
Soiree.
Musicales, music on Barcelona, presenting the music of Schubert, Beethoven, and those other classical music guys. That's at 5:30 by donation. So you can go there early before you go to the Leap Year event, 982-9674. At Chispa tonight, Three Faces of Jazz. At the El Dorado Hotel, John Gooch on the piano at 5:30. At the Hotel Santa Fe, Ronald Roybal doing Native American flute at 7 o'clock, free. Second Street Brewery has Nora McMahon and Case Tanner doing bass accompaniment at 5:30, no cover. On Saturday, head over to the...
Hey, wait a minute. Also tonight at the Dragon Room, Roberto Capocchi will be playing guitar from at least 8 to 9 and probably more than that as well at 406 Old Santa Fe Trail.
Excellent. And tomorrow night, showcase karaoke with Nancy and Cindy at 8:30 at Tiny's. I have to get over there and see what those sort of shenanigans are up to. 8:30, free. And finally, at El Farol tomorrow night, Hillary Smith and the GTs, 9:30 p.m. Call venue for cover charge. That's fun. That was a good show. Thanks for being here. Are you coming back next week?
I am. Are you?
Yeah, I am.
We have a minute and a half left.
Well, that's good. I heard this song on the way over before I tuned in to you. Remember that old song by Edward Baer from the 70s? I know you were just a baby at the time. You were only born like 72, according to your birth certificate, which I've always found to come into question. Remember that song, the last song? And you just remind me of it because you were asking me about something. It doesn't matter.
I have no idea what
glasses.
You're talking about. Go ahead, sing it.
I was afraid you'd say it because the lyrics just went out of my head. You just scared the heck out of me.
I scared you?
Did you know I go to sleep and leave my lights on? Hoping you would wander by and see that I was home and still awake. Now 2 years go by and still my light is on. This is hard for me to say. But it's all that I can take. It's the last song. You never heard that? I'll ever write for you. It's the last time that I'll tell you just how much I really care. It's the last song I'll ever sing for you. You'll be looking for that light and it won't be there. But I love you. Oh, yeah, I do.
He's good. He's amazing.
Yeah, I do.
He's amazing.
You have a good weekend, okay?
You too,
Robert.
Have
a happy leap year. I'll see you in 4 years.
I'll see you in 4 years. I'll see you next week.
$6 he paid for it. I thought he was getting it for free. Then he gets an extra promo. Go get your 3D glasses down at the New Mexican. Meet Paul Weideman. Meet the Star representative. See things in 3D. And then you can go see that Three Stooges movie. I swear they poke eyes at you.
Robert Knott is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. Comes out every Friday. You do a wonderful job, Robert, and it's great to have you here. Speaking of the arts, every Friday.
Doing other stuff. I like having that guest star. What was his name? Lola?
Lalo.
Lola, that's a cool name.
Lalo Graham.
Okay, excellent.
Thank you all. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can reach me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. or leave a message at 428-1528. We're also podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Jazz a la Carta. By the way, once again, for all the events going on at Temple Beth Shalom today and tomorrow, if you want to call over there, 982-1376, Rabbi Jonah Pesner will be there talking about congregation-based community organizing. That and so much more. This is a busy weekend.
You're not kidding.
I don't know what we're going to do.
Well, it happens in 2 weeks when we have to
do St.
Patty's.
I'll probably just walk dogs all weekend.
Now, don't let them eat the prairie dogs. They're doing an honoree for them down there at the Guadalupe.
That's true.
Place.
I will not take them to Jackalope. I might take them to Jackalope.
No.
I'll keep them on the leash. You're calling me a bad dog.
I'm saying bad to bring the doggies that eat the prairie dogs to the prairie dog celebration.
They're guarded. They're inside of a fence. They can't get out.
That's what Wile E. Coyote used to think when he dealt with Roadrunner.
Broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, my name is Mary Charlotte.
I know that.
Have a wonderful weekend.
I'm gonna. You too.
Everybody.
You said it.
Ciao.
Ham and eggs.